نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Before we begin, I'd like to say that inshallah, please bear with me. I'm not in the best of shape today. My voice is not that strong, and one of my other ailments is coming down, but inshallah, we will make it through. And the second thing I'd like to mention is that we stopped on the subject of the angels. I don't know if anyone was misunderstood the flyers, but we stopped on the subject of the angels. This is not going to be a lecture in the strict sense of the word. It's actually a continuation and a termination of what we were doing every other week before Ramadan. So all of the things that we were planning on doing up until like August, we're going to do it today and tomorrow, inshallah. And we ended on the angels, and that's where we're going to start. That's number two. And number three, we'll be trying to deal with the angels today, try to finish that, and the jinn and the shaitan, and then tomorrow the books and the messengers, and we're going to skip Yawm al-Akhir, the last day, because it's too much, it's just too much stuff. And we'll go straight to Al-Qadr wal-Qadha. And then inshallah, we'll come back on one day for a special presentation and try to deal with, for the whole day, the whole thing of the last day, inshallah. if we can do that, inshallah. So with that, we'll begin from the beginning. And the brothers of Tao told me that we ended with somewhere around the attributes of the angels. Mm-hmm. And when we mentioned when they were created, and some of the specific attributes of Jibril and Mikael, and also some attributes of the angels that hold up the throne of Allah. And the brother also mentioned that we mentioned the speed of the angels, the amount of their wings. We mentioned this, right? It's coming to you now, right? and that they're not described by male or female. We mentioned that, right? And so for those brothers who weren't here, we'll mention it again quickly, inshallah. First of all, the disbelief in the angels, we already know, is imperative upon us. It's mentioned all through the Quran, and in Surah Al-Baqarah we find a verse which is 177, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَيْسَ الْبِرُّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبْلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ. It is not righteousness that you turn your faces to the east and the west, but righteousness is he who believes in Allah and the last day and the angels and the book and the prophets. All the way to the end of the verse where Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. They are the ones who are truthful and sincere, and they are the ones who have taqwa. So we know from this, just this one ayah, that belief in the angels, that completely believing in the angels is a sign of taqwa. And again, in the end of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنْزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ كُلٌّ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. The messenger believes in that which has been revealed unto him from his Lord, and so do the believers. So we see that it is not only a part of our belief that we believe in these things, but the messengers believe in it, and to follow suit to follow the sunnah of the messengers, we also have to believe in it. And then Allah, the English translation says, each one believes in Allah and his angels and his books and his messengers. So with this, we know that belief in the angels is imperative, and we also know that it is a sunnah, for it is a belief of the prophets and messengers before us, and that we should believe in what they believe in. Because Allah says, Kullun aman, each one of them believes. So all of us should believe in them. As far as the creation of the angels, in fact, before the creation, I think before we mentioned that this word angel comes from an Arabic word al-aluka, and originally the word angel was mal'ak, the word mal'ak, and then it changed from mal'ak to mal'ak, and then from mal'ak, or I should say from mal'ak to mal'ak, and then from mal'ak to mal'ak. So the word is mal'ak, is for singular, for one angel. And mala'ika is plural. We mentioned that this word, that the word angel comes from al-aluka, means ar-risala, that it means a message. And Allah mentions this in Surah Al-Fatir, where He says, ja'il al-mala'ikati rusula, that Allah says He made the angels messengers, or He appointed them as messengers. So we know that that the angels are in fact messengers, but of course they are messengers, they are heavenly messengers, they are not earthly messengers, and the human beings are of course earthly messengers. As for the our belief in the angels, the belief, the imperative parts of our belief in the angels has four types. There are four things that are imperative for us to believe in the angels. Number one, and if anybody has it written down, can you name it? Name one? Yeah, the four things that are imperative for us to believe in angels. That's number one, the wujud, the existence of the angels. That's number one. We have to believe that the angels exist. The names of the angels. Before we go to the names, number one, the wujud, wujudul malaika, meaning that we have to have iman, we have to believe that they exist. Because there are some people in the world, including some Muslims, who don't believe that they exist. Unfortunately, there's some Muslims who don't believe that the angels exist. And any person that doesn't believe that the angels exist, after clear evidence has been shown to them, then this is kufr qalbi. This is the kufr of the heart, and this person has to repent by accepting Islam again, because they have left Islam. Anyone who does not believe that angels exist, we're not saying person who changes the meaning of the angels.
Yeah. So like you say, they say like the angels are the forces of the angels.
This is not kufr.
That's not, okay.
This is not kufr. This is, we should say, this is not the kufr of the heart. A person who makes ta'wil and says that the angels are the forces of nature, or the electricity, or the wind, or your conscious, or your subconscious, or something like this, this does not make a person a Catholic. But a person who says that they don't exist at all, and the evidence has been made clear to them that they exist by virtue of Allah mentioning it in His book, or our Rasul alayhi salam mentioning it, and the authenticated hadith, and the Sahaba of course were a total agreement that they existed, and the ijma' of the Muslims, the consensus of the Muslims, all the Muslims of the past believe that they exist. Anyone who says that they don't exist, after all of this evidence is presented to them, then they're Catholic, no doubt. They're kuffar. And the only way they can come back to Islam is to take Shahada. So we just wanted to make that clear. And this is evidence. This is the evidence for this is all through the Quran, about those who disbelieve in Allah and the angels. As far as the second thing that we mentioned, after existence of the angels, we must believe in the names of what we learned, the names that were presented to us in the Quran and the authenticated sunnah of our beloved Prophet salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, that there are some names that Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned in His book He's given us some names of angels, and they're from angels that we haven't been provided their names. That doesn't mean that we don't believe in them. We just don't have their names. Similar to our belief in Allah. There are names of Allah that Allah has given us, which are 99 in total, but there are names that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't revealed to us. Doesn't mean that He doesn't have them, and the evidence points to the fact that He does have them, as we mentioned in the classes a few months back. Similar to that of the angels, that they have names that Allah mentions in the Quran, and also additional names that have been mentioned in hadith by our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some of those names that we mentioned were Jibra'il. In the Quran, it doesn't come as Jibra'il, it comes as Jibreel. In the hadith of the Prophet, it comes both ways, Jibra'il and Jibreel. Also in the Quran, Allah mentions Mikael. And in the hadith of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet والسلام, mentions Mikael and Mikael. Also, another angel which is not mentioned in the Quran is the angel Israfil. So it's only mentioned in hadith. And out of the wisdom of Allah, Allah only knows why, and we don't know why Allah didn't mention Israfil in the Quran, but alhamdulillah, in the other part of the revelation that Allah sent down, which is the hadith of the Prophet, which of course is revelation, we find the Prophet mentioned Israfil. And the last time we were here, we mentioned one of the dua, istiftah, one of the opening du'as that when the Prophet used to make takbir, Allahu Akbar, in his salat, and then put his right hand on his left on his chest, that he made a dua, and one of these dua before he made the ta'awwudh, a'udhu billahi sami'ul alim min ash-shaytan rajim, and then the basmalah, he used to call on Allah, the Lord, Rabb al-Jibreel wa Mika'il wa Israfil, the Lord of Jibreel, Mikael, and Israfil. So we have evidence in quite a few places, and this dua is one of them, that Israfil is one of the angels, one of the mighty angels of Allah. And I think the third thing you mentioned was the sifat, the attribute of the angels. Some of the attributes of the angels, of course, we know that they're divided into two types, khalqiyya and khuluqiyya. Al-khalqiyya and al-khuluqiyya, which is the internal and external attributes of the angels, meaning their kindness, their love, their mercy, their seeking forgiveness for the human beings, making dua for them, and then some of the external attributes, but in their hatred for kufr and shirk and bid'ah, and that some of the external attributes, khalqiyya, is how they were created. They were created from light, and this is evident from a hadith from our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that's in the collection of Muslim, where Aisha radiallahu anha, our mother, said that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, خلقت الملائكة من نور وخلق الجان من مارد من نار وخلق آدم من ما وصف لكم, that the angels created from light, a light, and the jinn were created from smokeless fire, and the human being Adam was created from that which has already been described to you. And of course, described to you means here in the Quran, in the authenticated hadith of our beloved Prophet alayhi salam. Also added to this is that we don't find in the Quran the creation of the angels. We don't find the statement that the Prophet made that the angels were created from light, but we do accept it, and it's imperative for us, it's a wajib on us to believe in it, because the Prophet said it sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the hadith is authentic, so we have to accept it just like the Quran. It's equal to the Quran in a sense. There's also some other narrations about the angels being created from some other things, but it's not permissible for us to take these hadith because they're now authentic. The change of those hadiths are now authentic.
What about the thing of the slave, the anger, the name of the slave, the same?
The slave of Allah?
The name,
Oh yeah, we're going to come to that. The fourth thing that we mentioned is their duties. That should be it. Their duties and their occupations. That they're entrusted with with duties, just like the human being is, and the other things that Allah created. And alhamdulillah, they carry out their duties perfectly. They don't flag, they don't get tired on their duties, they don't slip in carrying out their duties. They carry them out without any hesitation. And as far as specifically as of Jibreel and Mikael and Israfil, Jibreel's main function is to bring revelation. We mentioned this before. Al-Wahi. Inshallah, later on, I think this evening, if we can get past the jinn, talking about the jinn and shaitan, and get to talk about a little bit about the books, and if not, then we'll discuss it tomorrow. We will discuss, inshallah, in detail what exactly is wahi. What is revelation? But Jibreel's job, his main function, is to bring the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the hearts of the Prophet. And the function of Mikael is that he's in charge of sustenance. He's in charge of sustenance and those things that produce the sustenance, like the clouds and the wind and the rain. Those, every morsel of food that we eat, and every sip that we drink, Mikael is partially responsible, or I should say responsible, not partially, but responsible for these particular things. Israfil is the angel that is going to blow the sur, which is the Arabic word for horn. Some people say trumpet. Allahu A'lam, I don't know if a trumpet is a specific type of horn. So I don't know if we should call it a trumpet, but because somebody may say, well, that's some added information that's being mentioned that is not specifically sticking to the text, because the horn can be of many types. You have French horn, you have trombone, you have saxophone. If you don't want to say Israfil is blowing on blow a saxophone, like you see in the cartoons, you know.
Don't use that as
Dalil,
that music was lawful.
That music was lawful? Use that as Dalil, that music is lawful?
That's good.
That's good. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. Alhamdulillah. One thing for sure, he won't be able to get away from that horn being blown.
The shifat and their obligation, is that divided or just the equal? Because I know some people, is it divided or is it just one branch and the other's another branch?
I didn't hear the whole.
As far as the four things that is wajib for us to believe in concerning the malaika.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the third one about their characteristics, you said that's the third one.
Right.
The fourth one is their obligation.
Yeah, their job.
Is it because wouldn't it sometimes fall underneath their characteristics, because part of their characteristics is that they possess these characteristics, that they always obey Allah and make dua for the believers and curse those who Allah curse. So can you put that under also as well?
In other words, make it three say that four is actually a subdivision of three?
Yeah.
In one sense, yes. We can take number four and divide it. But in another sense, no, because their characteristics are actually what you mentioned, khalqiyah and khulqiyah. They're the actual, I hate to use the word metaphysical or physical makeup, because they're not physical creatures in that sense, they're spiritual creatures. But their essence, their natural makeup is different from their occupation, you know. All of us sitting here are human beings, and we're all created from the same thing. But I'm a school teacher, somebody's a collection officer, Somebody else is a carpenter, somebody's an electrician, somebody's a sensei or karate or whatever. These are occupations, but that's not connected to the actual creature itself, the creation of the creature. So in that sense, I would say no. Once again, the angel Israfil, he is entrusted with blowing the horn. I don't know of any other function that Israfil has. I've heard of some hadith, but I've never read them, that it says that he's just standing with the horn upright. I've never gotten a chance to read them yet, but I assume from the people who I trust who have told me about them that they're authentic, that he's just standing, waiting, with the horn up to his mouth, just not flinching, not budging, not moving at all, and just waiting to blow. When we have that special presentation, inshallah, on the last day, on the whole thing on the last day, we're going to discuss, inshallah, how many times he's going to blow, because there's a difference of opinion among the scholars of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The strongest of opinion is that he's going to blow it twice. But there are some among Ahl Sunnah, Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn Hazm, Al-Qurtubi, and some others who say Abu Hasan al-Ash'ari, and some others. I'm not going to say which one of these says which one. But some say three, some say four, some say five times. I think in Nawdudi, I think he says five times, four or five times. If my memory serves me correctly, I think it's just, no, three times. He's going to blow the horn three times. Anyway, we're going to discuss that later, inshallah. Later. We also mentioned, if my memory serves me correctly, because I don't have it in front of me, we also mentioned that as far as the names of the angels, those three angels, Jibril or Jibra'il, Mikael or Mikael, and Israfil, that their names are from the language of Hebrew, Al-Ibriya, the Arabic word for Hebrew, Al-Ibriya. And they, the prefixes of their names, Jibra, Mika, and Isra, means in Arabic, Abd, it means Abd, which means servant. And Eel, Jibra, Eel, Mika, Eel, and Isra, Eel, means Allah. Or it doesn't mean Allah, it means Ilah. It means Ilah. So in actuality, in their language, I don't mean the angel language, I mean the language that their names come from, their names mean Abdullah. Means Abdullah. Servants of Allah. We also mentioned, if my memory serves me correctly, in like 2.5 months almost, close to, we mentioned that these three angels particularly have something in common, and that is that their job, their occupations are all connected to giving life or something to do with life. What we mean by that is that Jibreel sends down the Quran or all the revelations before the Quran, the Torah, of the Torah, the Injil, the Zabur, the Suhuf of Ibrahim, etc. All the revelations of those which we have the names of and those we don't have the names of. And he, Jibril alayhi salam, by the idhnillah, by the permission of Allah, by sending this revelation on the heart of the Prophet, he gives life to the heart. So in that sense, his job, his quote, is connected with life. Mikael, his job is once again to send the water down, the rain down on the earth, so that we can have our sustenance. So his job is connected to life, because he gives life to the earth by the permission of Allah. And Israfil is connected to life, because when he blows the horn, the human beings will be resurrected, which will they become alive again, which is life, giving life again by the permission of Allah. So in that sense, they all, those three are connected. It is also unanimously agreed upon by the scholars of the past, rahimahumullah, and those of Ahl Sunnah of today, hafizahumullah, Allah preserve them, that Jibril is the chief angel. We have some cheap imams here, but he's the chief angel. Jibril is unanimously agreed that he's the chief angel, and that Mikael in rank is below Jibrail, and Israfil is below him. And we know this either naqliyan or aqliyan. We know this by transmitted evidences, and we know it by rational evidence. We know it by transmitted evidence because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always mentions Jibril first if he mentions Mikael. He always mentions him first. So this here, the scholars of Islam, they deduce from this that there's some speciality and superiority of Jibril over Mikael because he mentions him first, and this is the way we should do it when we speak. You see? And I think I mentioned this before. It's not haram, but we shouldn't say hadith and Qur'an. We should say Qur'an and hadith. You know, we should do what the Prophet ﷺ said when he would make his hajj. He said, أَبْدَأُوا بِمَا بَدَأَ اللَّهُ بِهِ. I begin with that which Allah began with. You see? So this is the manhaj. This is the methodology of the scholars, of the people of the Ahl Sunnah. That you begin with what Allah began with. So Allah mentions Jibril first, it should show us the superiority of Jibril over Mikael. Whatever the superiority is, Allah doesn't say things haphazardly, and He doesn't forget. There's no mistakes on His part, hashallah, you know. So we know that if He mentions Jibril first, there's some reason. And then He mentions Mikael. And also in the hadith of the Prophet that we mentioned earlier, where he mentions he made the dua in Salat, he mentions Lord of Jibrail, Mikael, and Israfil. So we know that they have some rank, and that the Jibril has superiority over all of them. Now, that one of them is mentioned before Jibril.
Uh-huh.
Israfil is mentioned before Mikael. Inshallah, if you can bring it, because this show refutes my theory. Inshallah.
But also in the Quran says, whoever is an enemy.
Yes, this, the brothers mentioned that whoever is an enemy, this goes back to, I didn't mention this because this goes back to Kufr, disbelieving in the angels.
Okay.
That whoever, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions in the Quran, من كان عدوا للجبريل, that whoever is an enemy to Jibril, whoever is an enemy to Allah, he is also an enemy to Allah and the angels and the messengers and Jibrail and Mikael, and Allah is an enemy to those who are kuffar.
So as far as Allah, I mean, mentioning Jibril first is
This is what we just mentioned, and this is the same verse you're talking about, or the verse before that. Allah mentioned Jibril first. So as far as, once again, the names are concerned, these names, among other names, are mentioned in the Quran. There are some other names that are not really names. According to Shaykh Umar al-Ashqar, hafizahullah, in his book called Al-Mala'ikatu al-Abrar, The Dutiful Angels, The Dutiful Righteous Angels, he says that some of the attributes, some of the names, quote unquote, that have been attributed to angels are not really names, they're really attributes, like Raqib and Atib, the angel that's on the right and the left of us that writes the good and the bad deeds. He said these are not really the names of the angels, they're really attributes of the angels, characteristics. There's some other names that, once again, that are mentioned in the Quran, Harut and Marut, and also Malakul Maut, the angel of death, which is falsely given the name of Israel. In fact, in probably the vast majority of the books in Arabic or English or any other language where Muslims read around the world, you'll see that it says that Israel is the angel of death, but in actuality this is not true. And the reason why it's not true is because the hadith that mentioned Israel, the chains of those hadiths are not authentic, so we can't accept and use as a proof that Israel is the angel of death. We just call him Malakul Maut, literally angel of death. And we also mentioned that Jibreel especially, the Prophet ﷺ said that he saw Jibreel in his surah, in his natural form, and he has 600 jinah, that he has 600 wings. كُلُّ جِنَاحٍ مِنْهَا قَدْ سَدَّ الْأُفُقُ, that each one of his wings took up the whole horizon because of the size of Jibreel, which shows the size of him. There's another hadith where he says he saw him مُنْهَبِطًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ سَادًا, that he saw him descending from the heavens. And it says that his creation, the creation of him, took up everything that was between the heavens and the earth, the size of Jibreel alayhi salam. So this is shows you how great Jibreel is in his, just his physical, quote unquote physical creation, for lack of better words. We also talked about hamalatul arsh, which the angels that hold at the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that that between the earlobe and the shoulder of that angel is how many years?
700
years?
700
years. 700 years in the seerah. Travel. Also, we mentioned before that these angels were created before the human being. And this is deduced from the verses of Quran where Allah says, وَإِذْقَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. That surely, when your Lord said, remember when your Lord said to the angels, I'm going to create or place in the earth a Khalifa. And he was talking to the angels, and the Khalifa here means Adam, alayhi salam. So we know that the human being came after the angels. We also know that they're extremely strong, and you know, this is from the extremely, and this is an understatement, the extremely vast hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His ilm, that Allah creates every single creature with the ability to carry out what they're supposed to do. So because they have this great job, the angels are extremely fast and they're extremely strong. And we gave quite a few examples. One of them, that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would, the people would ask him a question. For instance, when they would ask him, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيضِ, they ask you, O Muhammad, about menses. Before the person can walk away, he would have the answer. Jibreel would descend with the answer. And this is, the speed of this is phenomenal, and that's not a good word. That's an understatement. We also know that the angels have wings. We mentioned that Jibreel has 600 wings, and that other angels have other amounts of wings that we assume are lower in number than Jibreel. We assume this. Allah says in the Quran, Alhamdulillahi fatir as-samawati wal-ardi ja'il al-malaikati rusulan uli ajnihatin mathna wa thulatha wa ruba'. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, praise be to Allah, or the English translation is, praise be to Allah, the originator and creator of the heavens and the earth, and He has appointed the angels as messengers, possessing wings, مَثْنَا وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَاعَ, two or three or four. Yes. You sure?
I'm sure.
You sure? This word مَثْنَا وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَاعَ, it doesn't mean two or three or four in the sense that we may think. The same wording is used in Surah Nisa for the verse of polygyny, where Allah mentions that we can marry the women, tawbalakum, the ones that, among the women who seem good to us, mathna wa thulatha wa ruba', same wording. In fact, if my memory serves me correctly, it is Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, if my memory serves me correctly, this is a proof, the verse that mentions the angel's wings, which is Surah Al-Fatir, or Surah Fatir, the verse that mentions the angel's wings, which is the first verse of Fatir, he uses that verse as a proof against the people who try to say that a person can have nine wives, because the verse in Surah Nisa, it says Mathna wa Thulatha wa Ruba', the person adds two and three, which is five, and the five with the four make it nine. So he uses this verse over here to disprove the people who try to say you can have nine wives, because the waw, mathna, wa, thulasa, wa, ruba, it's not a waw, what they call waw al-aq. It's not a waw conjunction. It's not the and of conjunction. It means or. Two, or three, or four. And the word mathna, you can talk to Sheikh Anwar here, Abu Muhammad, or Mujahid, or some of the brothers who are skilled in Arabic language. They can explain it to you what mathna and thulatha and ruba' mean, inshallah. As far as another part of their creation is their jamal, their beauty, that they're extremely beautiful. And this is something that is really, really important to understand, because relative to the creation of Allah and relative to Allah, everything is beautiful. So we don't want to say that the angels are beautiful and we're not, because the human being is also a beautiful creature. The creation of the human being, having arms and legs and a face, which is the most honorable part of the human being, one of the reasons why we're not able to strike a person on their face, not even an animal, because the face is the most honorable part of the human being. Contrary to popular belief among many men who may think when they pump iron, that's the beautiful part of them. But the most honorable part of a person is their face. The angels, then, totally, they're beautiful. And they love beauty. And one of the reasons why they love beauty is because they love what Allah loves. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he told a man, when he was caught him dressing kind of shabby, and the man was wealthy, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he was explaining to the man that he should dress in a manner that shows the ni'mah of Allah, the bounty of Allah. You know, you have cash, dress up. You know, show the bounty that Allah has given you. And this is the reason why this hadith we have, that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ وَيُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ. Allah is jameel, He's beautiful, and He loves beauty. So of course, the angels love what Allah loves. And so the angels love beauty, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them beautiful. They're exquisitely beautiful creatures. And in the surah An-Najm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm not too good on these numbers, if anybody knows the number of surah An-Najm. Surah An-Najm? No. 53. Surah 53, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions one of the attributes of Jibreel, where he says, عَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَى ذُو مِرَّةِ فَاسْتَوَى. Pickthall's translation, and I don't know what Yusuf Ali and the rest of them say, but Pickthall's translation says, which one of mighty powers has taught him, meaning Jibreel teaching Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam the Quran, ذُو مِرَّةٍ. And then Pickthall unfortunately goes away from the meaning of that statement, ذُو مِرَّةٍ, and he says, he translates it as one vigorous, تَسْتَوَى, and he grew clear to view. ذُو مِرَّةٍ doesn't mean this, and we have to accept what the companions of the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام said it means. And Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, he said that ذو مرة means ذو منظر حسن. ذو منظر حسن means a beautiful view. How Pickthall got vigorous, one who was vigorous, Allah knows this. I don't know. ذو, yes, one possessing beauty, that's what it means. ذو مرة means ذو منظر حسن, one who possesses a beautiful view. And Qatada رضي الله عنه said ذو خلق طويل الحسن, one who has possesses a beautifully large or long view, because he was so large, he was beautiful at the same time. There's also some others who say that it means that he possesses quwwa, and this is probably what Pickfall meant when he says one vigorous. So there's some who say that he's zul quwwa, that he doesn't, like that he has, Jibril has strength. We also mentioned that not only are they beautiful, but that there's proof in the Quran other than this verse. We mentioned in Surah Yusuf in verse 31 that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, verse 31, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا سَمِعَتْ بِمَكْرِهِنَّ أَرْسَلَتْ إِلَيْهِنَّ وَأَعْتَدَتْ لَهُنَّ مُتَّكَأً وَآتَتْ كُلَّ وَاحِدَةٍ مِّنْهُنَّ سَكِّينًا وَقَالَتْ اخْرُجْ عَلَيْهِنَّ فَلَمَّا رَأَيْنَهُ أَكْبَرْنَهُ وَقَطَّعْنَا أَيْدِيَهُنَّ وَقُلْنَا حَاشَ لِلَّهِ مَا هَذَا بَشَرٌ إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا مَلَكٌ كَرِيمٌ. This is the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, that when the women heard the as Pickfall translates it, the sly talk, when the wife of the Aziz heard the sly talk of the women in the town, she prepared for them a cushion so each one of them can lie down on it, and she gave each one of them a knife, and then she told Yusuf to come out, and they exalted him and said that this, may Allah be blameless, this is not a human being, this is none other than some gracious angel. So this is also a proof that angels are handsome, that they're very beautiful, because the women use angels as a reference to describe what they saw in Yusuf alayhi salam. As handsome as Yusuf was, the only way they could describe him was to say, ma hadha basharan, that this is not a human being, this is nothing but an honorable angel. We also know that the angels, when they would come in the form of men, at least on some occasions, it's in specifically Jibril, that he would come in the form of a handsome human being. And anyone remember the name of that companion? Dihya al-Kalbi. Dihya al-Kalbi, radiallahu anhu, was the companion that Jibril used to come and look at, and look like, appear as. Something that just came to my mind that I wanted to mention, and maybe some of you brothers have heard it before, and I don't know, I never got a chance to get a detailed explanation from the Sheikh who said it, but there are some people who believe that the angels do have free will, that they do have free will. We were sitting with Sheikh Abdul Al-Farsi from Kuwait about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, actually it was back in Ramadan, and he mentioned that angels have free will. And that they do have free will. And he also said that to say that they don't have free will contradicts the Quran and the Sunnah. I was able to get a detailed explanation from him on his evidences, but in general he said that that in actuality the reason why they don't disobey Allah is because they're so close to Allah, and they know Allah's power, and they know His might and His ability so well that they are afraid to disobey Him. And because of this, whatever they tell Him to do, they do it. He said, but this doesn't negate the fact that they have free will. This is not an indication of free will. No. It's just asking a question. Asking a question doesn't mean that you don't have free will or do have free will. Yes.
Doesn't Allah say that they don't speak?
Yeah, but once again, Sheikh Abdullah is saying that this is because of their fear. Fear. Because of the fear of Allah. But definitely asking the question doesn't indicate that they don't have this, that they don't have free will, or they do have free will. It just indicates they have the ability to ask questions. That's all.
Why did some people say one of the reasons why that we are better than the Malaika because we have a choice.
Yes, this is what they're saying, but once again, Sheikh Abdullah is saying, where is the proof to say that they don't?
I think maybe in Tafsir Surat al-Bayyinah in Ibn Kathir, I think that's explained that that's one of the reasons why we are better than the Malaika.
Yeah, well, absolutely, most of the people of the Ahlul Sunnah say that the vast majority of them say, the scholars that is, say that the human being is the crown of creation. But once again,
I think that's one of the proof why they proved that Iblis was from the jinn. From the Ayin Bakr, and plus the Ayin Surat al-Kahf.
Yeah, but if the narrations are authentic, there's evidence that some of the Sahaba, like Ibn Abbas and Qatada among the Tabi'un, said that the belief was from the jinn, from the angels. And that the jinn are actually a creature from the angels. And they have the evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah.
Well, the jinn has a free will, doesn't it?
Yeah, the jinn has free will. Yeah, absolutely.
What about the narration in the Bukhari when the Prophet asked Jibril, why don't you visit us more often?
Yeah, but the hadiths in Bukhari and other places, why don't you visit us more often, still would go right back in line with Sheikh Abdullah saying that they only do what Allah tells them because they're afraid of it and they know His power. That doesn't negate the fact that they don't have free will. Okay, so I don't know. Allahu A'lam. But I myself, it made me think, because all these years, I've been thinking that, no, absolutely, I always accept it, they don't have free will. But from the basic principle of al-bara'atu al-asliyah, you know, that we shouldn't assume that they're different from us unless we have a clear text that they're different from us. We know we're created from mud, and they're created from light, the jinn are created from fire. So that's a clear distinction from text. But where is the text that says that they don't have free will? See? So this is important.
Some of the shades, like one of the recent ones, Abu Bakr Zidari and Peter Mu'min, he, under the sifat, some of the sifats of the Malaika, he mentioned the ayah and Surah Al-Anbiya, the meaning of it, when Isa was saying that they only do what they are commanded to do.
Right, which is basically what the brothers are doing.
Right, and that they have obedience from Allah. So he only gives the description that this is their characteristics and this is what they do.
Right.
Like human, we have the characteristics that informs us about the free will. Make the ayah, the meaning of the ayah in Surah Al-Ankabut, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us that He will test us to see those who are sadiqun for those who are kadhibin.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a choice to see which one is going to follow the guidance.
Yeah, but even with all of that, Hafizullah, Sheikh Abu Bakr al-Jazari, Allah preserve him, even with all of that, is this concrete proof that they don't have free will? I mean, when Allah says in Surah Tahrim, that they are la ya'sun Allah, they don't disobey Him, la ya'sun Allah ma amarahum wa yaf'aluna ma yu'marun, and they do what they're ordered. But is this a proof that they don't have free will? Is it? To me, it's not. It's not a proof. It's not an absolute.
It's just one of their sifat that this is their characteristic, that this is what they do.
Right. I mean, we have human beings that we'll come to when we get to, inshallah, the prophets, inshallah, called awliyaullah. And these are human beings. Whatever Allah tells them to do, they do. This is the proof that the human being doesn't have free will now? I mean, so much so that the hadith says, it becomes the hand they grasp with, the eyes they see, the seeing they see with, the hearing they hear with, and what they walk with, that whatever they were asked, they would be given, whatever they seek refuge, they would be given refuge.
all of the MDL on Masum.
Right.
But the mistakes, like for example, the Rasulullah alayhi salatu wa salam had made, it was for ta'aleem of the Ummah.
Right.
Right? But still, I know the, but still, they have,
yeah, you know, it's really, I'm only throwing it out there because, number one, it's fair. We should be fair, you know, and it's healthy for us to think like this, because we shouldn't just accept anything that anyone says just because there are illustrious predecessors. We should accept what they say, but we should make tahqiq. We should verify. We should verify the authenticity of it.
For us, this shows that we have free will. Allah Alam, if you can use this, the two rakats before Maghrib,
mm-hmm.
Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us to pray.
Yeah, before
Maghrib,
after Maghrib comes in.
I mean,
because some people think it means before Maghrib prayer.
Yeah.
Because after the salat comes, after the sun sets, then you make the surah.
And then he said, for whoever wills.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's one, if you can use that.
But that means,
option whether or not they want to make it or not. Because
and Sheikh Abdullah is saying that the angels have an option, but they fear Allah so much and love Him so much, they just do what He says.
Well, that's what Abu Bakr today has underneath the characteristics that said that they fear their Lord, and this is why, you know, they only speak when they're commanded to speak and
right.
do whatever, you know.
And once again, when you find those human beings that have reached that level of awliya, they have reached that reality, the essence of the reality of Allah, so much so that they will not disobey Allah.
How about the hadith?
But they still have the will, the ability to disobey.
And so when the hadith, when it speaks about whenever Allah wants to reveal something to mankind, He speaks the word out to the inhabitants of heaven, and they all fall down in fear of Him. And the first to raise his head is the angel Jibril, whom Allah then commissions to convey the revelation.
Yeah, but what? How, this is what
they all. I'm saying
this
I'm
is
saying,
not a proof that they don't.
I'm not.
Do
no,
that
what
free
I'm,
will.
No, what I'm saying is that when they say when they all fall in fear of Him, maybe you know. Evidence to point to the fact that they might have free will.
Yeah, all I'm doing, you know, I'm throwing it out there because there's sometimes in our Islamic growth and development, we'll learn things.
Mm-hmm.
I know even me right now, as much as I teach classes and do these lectures and all of these things,
mm-hmm.
I even, of course, I teach at a Muslim school, and that's what I'm teaching the children every day. From preschool, inshallah, soon to 10th grade. And I have found myself on at least 3 occasions in the past 4 years saying things that I learned 12 years ago, 14 years ago, and never verified it, that I knew was true, but come to find out they weren't true. You know? So just we should just be ready to be humble enough to listen and verify, and then once it's verified, then humble enough to accept it and submit to it. You know. Inshallah, we'd like to mention. We also mentioned that that the angels are not on the same footing; that they're all on different ranks. Some of them have a higher rank than others. This is evidence from the Surah Saffat in the Quran. Saffat. Where Allah says, the angels say, وَمَا مِنَّا إِلَّا لَهُ مَقَامٌ مَعْلُومٌ. There's not one of us except that he has a designated position or a known position. So we know that some angels, once again, some have on one level and some are on other levels. Also, there's a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ, this hadith is in al-Bukhari, he was visited by Jibreel, And he said, "ما تعدون من شهد بدر فيكم?" Says, "What do you think about the people who were present at Badr, who were present at Badr among you?" And he said, "خيارنا, they're the best of us." And then he said, "وكذلك من شهد بدرا من الملائكة هم عندنا خيار الملائكة." He said, "Likewise, those angels who are at Badr, they're the best among us." So the best of the Muslims among the Sahaba are the ones who were at the Battle of Badr, and the best of the angels are the ones who were at the Battle of Badr. So you can remember that, inshallah, when someone you have a discussion of who are the best angels as a group. This is not completely beside the point. But has anyone ever read? Yeah, this is beside the point. I shouldn't say this. It is completely beside the point. And I would have made a fool of myself if I would have mentioned it and said before that this is not beside the point. It's fine. Then you listen and say it's not, and I don't want to do that. But has anyone ever read the hadith in Al Bukhari about Uthman and Umar saying that he was not his brother? Anybody ever read this? Somebody here or somebody in the hadith? Right, Omar was talking, and there was another, it was also a companion named Uthman Muhib, I think that's his name, Muhib. And it says that they were having a discussion, and it said that Uthman was not al-Badr. Then there's another hadith in al-Bukhari that says, it gives a detailed list. Al-Bukhari gives a detailed list of the people who were at Badr, and Uthman ibn Affan is one of them. Inshallah, that's just, I'm putting, because we mentioned Badr, it's not related to the angels, but inshallah, if you can, do some research on that and find out what does this mean. I know what it means, I just want to, just in case you run across someone that maybe have some devious ideas or have some doubt. You know, they see one hadith over here that says he wasn't at Badr, and then another hadith over here says that he was on the list. He's definitely on the list of being at Badr, right? And you make, you know, so you'll have to be prepared to answer that, inshallah. Also, we know that the angels are not described by Vakura wal Unutha, by male and female, and that they la yakulun wa la yashrabun, they don't eat, they don't drink. ولا يملون ولا يتعبون. They don't get tired, they don't flag, they don't get fatigued, etc. And we know that their dwelling places are where? Their dwelling places. Their homes. Places where they. Brothers like this. Huh? In the heavens. And the evidence, yes.
Is there a distinction
between heavens and Jannah?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. Well, the verse in the Quran, it says, "تكاد السماوات يتفطرن من فوقهن والملائكة يسبحون بحمد ربهم." This is Surah Shura, and the number of this chapter I don't know. Surah Shura, the councils, mutual consultation. The heavens are about to split from above them, and the angels glorify their Lord, and they praise Him. They glorify and praise their Lord. And heavens here means the heavens, means the firmament. It doesn't mean the Jannah. Jannah. Somebody asked me one time what was the significance of knowing all these details. And you think, you Brother Dawood, that you should be giving all these details, because most of the people are not going to remember it anyway. They're just going to go home and, you know, look at TV or whatever, eat pancakes, and they're not going to remember this stuff anyway, right? So I told them I think it is, because these things will aid us in increasing our iman. And also, they will aid us in refuting these misconceptions that come through either by way of Israeliyat, Ahl Kitab narrations, or extremely foreign narrations. You'd be surprised how many Muslims that you run into every day have beliefs that are either Jewish, you know, tincture, I'm not saying totally, a tincture of Jewish belief, or a tincture of Christian belief, or a tincture of Buddhist belief, or Hindu belief, you know. So these are things that or atheistic belief. So these are things that we should, you know, try to learn some details of. We don't have to learn all the details. As far as that number, we know that the angels don't have a number that has been given to us. We know that they're added, the number of them is only known by Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls them in a verse in Surah Muddathir, Al-Muddathir, he calls them Junood. This is the same word we use for like an army, or host, or group of something. He says, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُ. That none knows the junood, meaning none knows the number of the angels except your Lord. Or none knows the number, the amount of the angels of your Lord except Him. More correct. We also mentioned some other names of the angels, which are Malik. Malik is the angel of which is the Khazin al-Nar, which is the caretaker of the fire. And this can be found, and if anyone knows what the number of the chapter called Zukhruf, is Zukhruf? 43. MashaAllah. Did you memorize all these numbers? You trying? Alhamdulillah. The chapter is 43. We have a brother like you in Brooklyn. Brother Muhammad ibn Salah ad-Din. That was all these chapter numbers. He even knows some of the verses, man. You say the verse, he tells you the number. MashaAllah. In chapter 43, verse 77, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this surah called Az-Zukhruf, وَنَادَوْا يَا مَالِكُ لِيَقْضِ عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكُ. And they cry, O Malik. Malik is the caretaker of the hellfire. Let your Lord make an end of us. This is the people, the inmates, the inhabitants, the denizens of hellfire, they will say. And then it says that Allah says, قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُونَ. Then it will be said to them, surely you have to stay. You have to remain. وَنَسَرُ اللَّهِ الْعَافِفِ الدُّنْيَ وَالْآخِرَةِ وَنَسَرُ اللَّهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَنَعُوذُ بِهِ مِنَ النَّارِ. Ask Allah to give us the Jannah and keep us away from the hellfire. Ameen. Also, there is an angel that the authenticity of the hadith that mentioned his name, I don't know. If someone knows, please share it with us. Because I'm not considering myself teaching. I'm only considering myself sharing information. And that angel is Ridwan. Ridwan. I don't know if there's any authentic hadith that mentions Ridwan. If anybody knows, please let us know. But it says that he is the Khazin al-Jannah, and the caretaker of the Jannah, and that's as far as we know. Likewise, or similar to Ridwan, there are two angels that are mentioned that are the angels of interrogation that will ask the human being these three questions, Munkar and Nakir. And according to one of our sheikh from among the Ahl Sunnah, Sheikh Muhammad Ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen, Hafizullah, he says that there should be some looking into calling these two angels Munkar and Nakir. Calling them Munkar and Nakir may not be correct, because the meaning Munkar and the meaning Nakir means something bad. It means something evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this. You know, if we can call them Munkar and Nakir. Also, we mentioned earlier about Harut and Marut. These are two angels that were sent to Babel, ancient Babylon, where Allah says, وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانُ وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السِّحْرَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى الْمَلَكَيْنِ بِبَابِلَ هَارُوتَ وَمَارُوتَ وَمَا يُعَلِّمَانِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ حَتَّى يَقُولَا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ فَلَا تَكْفُرْ. And this is Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 102. And I don't want to give it my own translation, but the verse according to Pickthall says that and Sulaiman did not disbelieve, but the devils disbelieved, teaching mankind magic, that which was revealed to the two angels in Babel, Harut and Marut. Nor did they, the two angels, teach it to anyone until they had said, we are only a fitna, a trial or a temptation. Therefore, don't disbelieve in the guidance of Allah. Yes,
tafsir or translation?
Translation.
He has a tafsir of that ayah. I want to make sure that I understand it correctly. That, and he says that we don't think as a fitness for you, as a trial to you. That these people, were these two angels sent, I mean, specifically just to test the people? Or did these, were these people already in some type of error anyway?
Yeah, the question of the brother, I don't know if you can hear his voice, if there are any sisters on the other side. The question the brother's asking about, he says in the translation, or the Mani translation, there is a narration. Uthmani translation. I don't know if it's Uthmani.
Uthmani.
The same one,
the
Fadl Bari. Yeah. Well, he's asking, did these two angels come teaching specifically this, or were the people involved in these things?
Right.
And the second, the latter, is the correct interpretation of it. And Al-Tabari, Ibn Jarir Al-Tabari, in his tafsir, he gives an elaborate explanation of this verse. I haven't read it in a long time, at least 8 years, but if my memory serves me correctly, it's at least 5 pages. Of this one ayah mentioning the two angels, and he goes into detail, because some people don't even believe they were angels. Some people read the ayah malikini, not malakini. They read it malikini with a kesra, saying that it were two kings, not two angels. Anyway, we know that they brought this. The people in the time of Prophet Sulaiman were involved in this type of kufr. So the angels Harut and Marut came to further them into their folly by the permission of Allah as a temptation.
So was their job to first warn them to let them know?
Yes, their job was to warn them, and this is where the Prophet verse says, وَمَا يُعَلِّمَانِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ, and they didn't teach anyone, حَتَّى يَقُولَ إِنَّمَا فِتْنَةً إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةً, that they would tell them before they would teach them that we are only a trial. So the people, the shayateen among the human beings in ancient Babylon, even though the angels would tell them that we're a trial for you, they would still learn this magic. And of course, the magic that they learned was the similar to the magic that is being used today, and mm-hmm. as the verse goes on, mm-hmm. one of the chief, mm-hmm. or one of the, not chief, but one of the aspects of this magic was وَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْهُمَا مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ, that what they learned from them, the verse goes on saying, that was nothing but except to teach, or I should say, was to teach the people how to separate a man from his wife. And inshallah, we'll mention that in brief when we come to the jinn and shaitan. Inshallah, as we know about the hadith about Iblis having his throne over water.
Is that verse also right, clarifies, because they used to attribute a lot of magical and how the Suleiman falsely, right, the Jews at that particular time.
Right.
Also,
yes.
Right.
So this verse clears it up because the verse starts out saying, when they kept out of Suleiman.
Right.
So Suleiman didn't disbelieve.
Right.
So if I do like a little part of trick, that meant pull a rabbi out of the hat, everybody
knows that. No. This is meant. No, in the Kuffar, I don't know if the Muslims do this. I would assume that the Muslims divide magic into two types, but the kuffar divide magic into three types. Black magic, gray magic, and white magic. The kuffar divide magic like this. Gray magic, yeah. And pulling the rabbit out of the hat, doing sleight of hand like Muhammad Ali does now, this is not the kuffar. But if you make someone think that you're doing this, if you tell them, that if you lead someone to believe that you are doing this, this is deception, of course. And quite good. Come on.
You have to use the witness.
The individual who does the white magic. That's what you're talking about?
Yeah.
The white magic, the one who does the white magic. He can't be used as a witness. Yeah. Once again, if we don't want to get into the ahkam of this, but I would not say that he couldn't be used as a witness if he tells people that this, I'm not actually doing this. If he does it to fool the people and make people think, this is tadlis. They call this tadlis. And this is not permissible. It's the same principle as a woman putting a wig on or putting extensions in her hair. It's tadlis, it's haram. Because the Prophet said, "Man ghashna fa laysa minna," whoever cheats us and deceives us is not of us. Also we mentioned Raqib and Atib before. Raqib is the angel, the description of the angel on the right, and Atib is the angel that's on the left. And Tawfiq is going to give us the number of the surah Qaf, 50, 50, 50, 50. Alhamdulillah. The verse mentions, إِذْ يَتَلَقَّى الْمُتَلَقِّيَانِ عَنِ الْيَمِينِ وَعَنِ الشِّمَالِ قَعِيدٌ مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. The pictorial translation of this is, when the two receivers receive him, seated on the right hand and on the left, He uttereth no word, but there is with him an observer ready. So Raqib and Atib are the two angels. The description of the angels, as Shaykh al-Ashqar, Hafizullah, mentions that they're not the names, but rather the sifat of the angels. These two angels are always writing down what we do, which is the good and the evil of what we do. Then we mention, do angels die? Yes, yes.
Can you stop?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, we have all day, man. 20 minutes to 12.
Sometimes, you know, I used to be on the, you know, a legend with Joe News, everything, probably down. And there's a law, tell these particular angels that he's thinking of such and such and write that down because...
He who?
Tell the angels that. The individual. Because,
the human being is thinking.
Yeah, because of the verse when Allah says, Yom Huzul Nasarah, the day that the hidden intent will be held to scrutiny. So is this also going to be written on the record?
There's some difference of opinion if the angels know what's in the heart. There's some difference of opinion among the scholars of Ahl Sunnah if the angels know what's in the qalb of the person. And according to the best of my knowledge, yes, they do know some things that Allah has revealed to them. Some things, but not everything. Yes.
I believe, I'm not sure, that the angel does not know what goes in the heart, because one of the times that Allah, Jalla Jalla, not only takes the person and put him in hell, and so the angels were witness that he took care of his parents, and he treated them well and everything. He said, yes, he did that. And inside the hospital was totally pushing him to die.
Yes, but there's some other evidences. Once again, like I mentioned, there's some differences of opinion. There's some other evidences, some other verses of Quran and some hadith that points to the fact that they do know something. Not everything, but there are some. There's a difference of opinion. And if a person wants to accept one or the other of our illustrious scholars, then they have that choice. But it's always better to try to lean towards that which is the strongest of opinion. Then we came to before we go away from Raqib and Atib, we just want to mention that Raqib means basically ever watchful, that he's always watching, and Atib means always prepared, that he's hadir, that he's totally always prepared. So both of them together basically means that they're always watchful and always prepared to write down. And there's nothing that goes down, nothing that we say, even the groans that we make, even the groans and the moaning that we make when we're sick and we're in pain, all these things are written. Then we came to the point, do the angels die? Do the angels die? And I think last time we were here, we all unanimously agreed, right? The angels die?
Yeah.
Right. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ in Surah Rahman, which is chapter 55. That one I do know.
26.
Yeah, verse 26 and 27. كُلُّ عَلَيْهَا فَانٍ وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ Everything shall fade. But there's some people who even argue with using this verse as a proof. There's some people who use this verse to say this verse is a proof against you if you say that the angels will die. Anyone know why?
Oh, because they never sleep.
No. Anyone know why? Because the 25th verse, is that 26 or 27?
That was 26.
So the 25th verse then says, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانٍ كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانٍ The domir, the pronoun, has everything on it. It means earth. See? So there's some people say this is a proof against you. Because the angels are not on earth. Speak up, inshallah.
I read a hadith in one of the last publications of it. And it was, if I'm not mistaken, talking about, I think it's the Psalm. And explain that on Yom after that the Malaika, they will see that Allah SWT was not given the worship that was due, and they will cut their neck. But he didn't put the reference in there. When I asked him about it, he said they forgot to put it in there, alluding to that the angels, these group of angels, would kill themselves.
That they would kill themselves. Well, Allah knows best if this narration is correct or not. But there's a verse in the surah entitled Az-Zumr. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَصَعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ نُفِخَ فِيهِ أُخْرَى فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُونَ And the horn is blown, Pickoff says, and the trumpet is blown. He went back to Dizzy Gillespie on us. And the horn is blown, and all who are in the heavens and the earth swoon away. Men fi samawati wa men fi al-ard. They're going to sa'iqa. Now sa'iqa, somebody may bring contention on what the word sa'iqa means in this ayah. Of course we know what sa'iqa, I don't know what the you as an Arab, what do you think sa'iqa means?
Sa'iqa is
blowing my mind. Yeah, he meant, he translates it as they will, everything which is in the heavens and the earth will swoon away. But then it says, Illa man sha' Allah. Except whom Allah wills. ثم نفخ فيه أخرى. Then the horn will be blown again. فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُونَ. And it is blown again the second time, and behold, them standing waiting. According to the tafsir of this ayah, which is ayah 68 of Surah Az-Zumar, chapter 39, alhamdulillah, this verse is talking about everything is going to be destroyed, and the only thing that's going to be standing, meaning illa man sha Allah, is going to be Israfil, the angel Israfil. And then he will blow the horn a second time, and then he himself will be destroyed. And then Allah will resurrect everything again, will bring everything back.
That word you just mentioned, that they translated swoon, mm-hmm. Is that the same word when Musa alayhi salam asked to see Allah?
Yes.
It's the same swoon?
Yes.
Okay, then can't you use the tafsir from that to explain this?
Yeah, but it, in that verse, Musa didn't die.
Right.
So someone could use that as a refutation against someone saying the saiqa means that it means to die. Right. It means that it just means to fade away. But we know that that from the explanation that has been given to us by the people of the past, that it means that everything is going to die.
So the angels do die?
The angels do die.
They don't die, we die. Human beings die every day. Angels just won't have that one.
To the best of my knowledge, yes. The angels will be destroyed. They will all be destroyed at the same time, except for Israfil, Wallahu A'lam. To the best of my knowledge, that's the way it will be. Yes, I see. Yeah, go ahead. Yes.
No,
oh, okay. Oh, I was waiting. Yeah. So based on that ayah, they say that the angels are included in that particular ayah, and Ibn Kathir gives an elaboration on that particular verse, chapter 39, verse 68. In fact, he brings some hadith to even further clarify. And also, there's another ayah added to the ayah that the brother Tawfiq just mentioned, which is in Surah Al-Qasas, which is chapter what? 28, verse 88. كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَهُ. Everything is perishing except the face of Allah. Except His face. Now, if there's going to be, if the question comes up, will any of them die before the blowing of the horn, I don't think it would be wise for us to delve into this, because we don't have any clear text, and we should just stay on that which is confirmed instead of, you know, trying to speculate. Then we mentioned before the angels having other attributes, characteristics, like them being honorable, as Allah mentions, kiram and katibin, or kiram and barara, them being honorable. And also we mentioned the shyness of the angels. And one indication for that is the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting with his thighs exposed, or with his thigh exposed, and another narration says with his shank exposed. And the Khalifa Abu Bakr, the eventual Khalifa Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, came in, and the Prophet didn't cover his thigh. Then Umar asked to come in, he sat next to him, and he didn't cover his thigh. Then Uthman came in, and the Prophet covered his thigh. And then when Aisha radiallahu anha asked, why did he do it with the first two and he didn't do it with the last one, which was Uthman, عند بعض الفئة ألا أستحيي من رب من رجل تستحيي منه ملائكة. Should I not be shy around the one whom the angels shy? Meaning Uthman رضي الله عنه. So this lets us know that the angels are shy. They have this attribute of shyness. I'm the only one who can bring things that are not directly related.
It was told to me that Uthman was older than Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
That Uthman was older?
Yeah, and that's the reason for the shyness. He was like a sheikh to him. And he even brought out the point that Uthman wasn't told. It wasn't. They had to tell him not to use his right hand to before his stingy mark. Because he was shy to shake the hand of the Prophet or something with a hand that he would use for that.
You're saying that this is the reason why Uthman was shy, or why the reason why the angels were shy around him? Well, if this is true, alhamdulillah, but the text is sufficient.
This is another hadith in Muslims, the meaning more or less, the Rasulullah, the meaning of more or less, that Uthman is very shy.
Yeah, when you read Fadail al-Sahaba, on the excellent qualities of the Sahaba, the Prophet mentions him again as being extremely shy, outside of the context of this, within the context, but outside of this narration itself. The reason why, him being older, younger, or whatever, taller or shorter or whatever, this still doesn't negate the fact that he was shy, and it doesn't negate the fact that the angels were shy around him, and that the angels themselves were shy. As far as their ability or abilities, we know that the angels have the ability to take on the form of human beings. And there's something interesting about this. When you look in Surah Maryam, the Surah 19, that one I do know again, that's another one I do know. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذُكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مَرْيَمْ, and mention in the book, and make mention of Mary in the book, إِذَنْ تَبَذَتْ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا مَكَانًا شَرْقِيًّا, when she had withdrawn from her people to look to a chamber looking east, as Kitfall translated. And this goes all the way down to the next verse, فَاتَّخَذَتْ مِنْ دُونِهِمْ حِجَابًا, and he had chosen seclusion from them. And she had chosen seclusion from them. فَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهَا رُوحَنَا فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا. Then we sent unto her our ruh, meaning Jibreel, and he assumed for her the likeness of a basharan sawiyyah. And this word, bashar, means a human being. But basharan sawiyya means totally and perfectly a human being. And this, for someone who doesn't study aqidah really well, this could cause a big problem. We have some individuals who unfortunately have attributed in the past and also